Chapter 10 is just giving us the details about the introduction to the vision and the revelation. Chapter 11 will give us the extent of the revelation. But in Daniel chapter 10, it's all about Daniel who prayed for 3 weeks and fasted for 3 weeks, waiting for an answer to his prayer from God. And then finally, after 3 weeks' time, the angel, what we think is Gabriel, came and appeared before him and touched him, and almost a process of resurrection, preparing him for, strengthening him for the revelation that he's about to receive in chapter 11. The vision that Daniel saw just before the angel touched him was a vision of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, coming in power and great glory, coming to reign over the nation of Israel and through the nation of Israel over all the earth. And certainly this has to be the thing that was on Daniel's mind and on his heart that caused him such trouble. It's 2 years after the return of his people back to the land. Their captivity is over, but they're back to a land that's desolate, a land that doesn't look like anything glorious could ever come of that land. And he's praying definitely for that people and for the blessings to come to them. And as he's praying about that, there's a hindrance from him getting an answer to God's prayer. But the angel comes and gives him, first of all, the vision of Jesus Christ coming in glory, assuring Daniel that he is that glorious things are going to happen to the land of Israel. Then as Daniel is struck down by that vision, as all men are in the presence of glory, that the angel comes and touches Daniel, and when he touches Daniel, Daniel's able to get up. And the first thing he does is assure Daniel that he is greatly beloved of the Lord. And through that message, Daniel is strengthened. Later on he can speak, and then later on he is strengthened enough that he can receive the revelation, and the revelation continues into chapter 11. We want to go back today and deal with that 21-day delay of Daniel before he got the answer to his prayer. And watch how these verses go together. If you come to chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Then he said unto me," this is the angel speaking to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come, for to make thee to understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Daniel is told here by the angel why the delay took place. It's interesting, again, reading verse 12, "Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand." That's the first clue, I believe, in this chapter to what it was that Daniel was fasting about. He was praying and fasting, if you look back to verse 3, on verse 2. It says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." That's 21 days, isn't it? And he didn't eat any pleasant thing and so forth. Daniel was on a fast, and a fast always has to do with praying some things about to God. You don't just fast to fast. Fast is always centered around praying. So Daniel was apparently praying and asking God for some information, some understanding, something about God's purpose and glory to the promise to the nation of Israel. The angel Gabriel appears, and I'll call him the angel Gabriel because I just believe that he is, can't definitely prove it. But the angel appears to Daniel, and he says that from the beginning, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Stop and think of the miracle that is. Daniel's down here on earth in the city of Babylon, thinking about God's promises to Israel, got concerned about God's promises to Israel, wants some understanding from God about it, begins to pray and to fast about it, and this angel says, from that very first day that you offered up that prayer, your prayer was heard. And I am come for thy words. You know, I don't know if we really value what prayer is. I don't know. It takes a verse like that to tell us in our minds that we have a heart's concern, and we take that concern, and it's not just our concern. I want a new car, I want a new house, and all that. It's a concern. Daniel knew that God had a purpose for the nation of Israel. He don't see it happening. He's concerned about it. He's praying according to the will of God, according to the program of God, and that kind of prayer hits God the very day it's prayed. It makes it to the universe, to the throne room of God. And not only did the prayer reach God that very day, but according to these verses here, the angel was dispatched. I am come for thy words. Because you prayed, Daniel, that's why this information is coming to you. And you know, that makes me think of what it says in James when it says, you have not because you ask not. If Daniel didn't pray for this understanding, would this angel have came to him? Not according to what the angel said. He said, I'm come for thy words. In other words, your prayers had an impact with God the Father, who immediately dispatched me down here to tell you the things that you're desiring to understand because God wants you to understand them. And so there's things that go on that you and I do not understand. That's the first clue here. That there are other beings other than human beings in the universe that God has created, in the heavens and the earth. And that prayer does reach heaven. And a prayer that's in line with the will of God, God acts on that in our behalf in ways that we don't understand and couldn't comprehend unless God would reveal them. And he does definitely reveal to Daniel this. Verse 13, he explains why it took 21 days. If the first day God heard your prayer and began to send me to answer your prayer, why did it take 21 days? Well, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That's 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, you know, you look at a verse like that, and it's hard to comprehend. What in the world? The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood an angel from coming to give Daniel this revelation. And then it took Michael, who's called the chief prince, to free up Gabriel so that he could finally make it there after waiting 21 days. There was some spiritual warfare going on. We talked last week, the information that he is coming to give Daniel is called in verse 21. But I will make thee, but I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Notice in that verse that the thing that Gabriel was coming to deliver to Daniel is not just an answer to Daniel's understanding, it was the scripture of truth. And Satan does not want mankind to have the scriptures of truth. He'll fight that, he'll hinder it any way he can, and that's why I ended last time warning you about staying away too frequently or for any reason that you can correct of being here. In other words, you ought to be here every time you can. And every time you're kept away, don't you think that there isn't a spiritual warfare that's keeping you away? Don't you think it's just your whims and your desires? There is some spiritual activity that would keep you from getting grounded in the scriptures of truth. First knowing it, and then getting it down in your heart where you begin to live it. And so there is spiritual warfare that goes on. And this prince of the kingdom of Persia is not Cyrus. This chapter opens up, chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. It's not Cyrus, king of Persia, that hindered this angelic angel from coming to Daniel. There is an angelic being who is called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The reason I know that is because Gabriel is hindered. An angel is more powerful than a man. Gabriel is not going to be hindered by a man. In fact, Cyrus is someone who is helping the Jews. He would never hinder the Jews. This is, and in fact, I see a difference there in between that word prince and the king that's in chapter 10, verse 1. In other words, it's not the king, but it's a prince of the kingdom of Persia. That withheld Gabriel, but it's not the human prince. There is in the angelic world a world out there that is typical of the earth, or probably the earth is typical of the spiritual world that's out there. There is a correlation between what's in the unknown, unseen world and what goes on here on earth. And in fact, by watching these verses, it looks like the unseen world has an impact upon this world. It definitely was trying to hinder Daniel from receiving the revelation that he gets in chapters 11 and 12. If you look over with me to verse 19, it says, speaking to him and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou therefore that I am come to thee? You know why I'm come, Daniel. You know what you've been praying about. You wanted understanding. Remember why I'm here. and will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now that was chapter 11, verse 1, and did you catch what's going on? Not only was Gabriel hindered from coming, but after he comes and delivers Daniel what he's there to deliver to Daniel, he's going to leave Daniel, go back to fight with the king of the prince of Persia, and when he is done fighting, then the prince of Greece is going to take over. And then it goes on and he reminds Daniel that way back when Darius the Mede took the kingdom from Babylon, we studied it in chapter 5 of Daniel, that's when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, and that night Darius the Mede took the kingdom of Babylon. How did that happen? Well, Gabriel says, I was standing with him, helping him. There was angelic help going on that's behind the scene. And so when you start reading about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the prince of Greece that's coming, and how Darius won the battle over Belshazzar in the Babylonian Empire when he took it, there was angelic activity involved, then you begin to understand that behind what's here on earth is an unseen world just like it. There's a kingdom of Persia. There is a kingdom of Babylon that was defeated by the kingdom of Persia. There's a kingdom of Greece that's going to follow. And when this angel quits fighting with the kings of Persia, then the kingdom of Greece is going to take over. And the things that are happening here reflect what's happening in the unseen world. We know it's the unseen world. Back in verse 13, it says the prince of the kingdom of Persia, verse 13 of chapter 10, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Notice the degrees of these princes. There is a prince, and if he's hindering people from getting the truth of the scripture, we're not talking about an holy angel, are we? There are, in the unseen world, there are demonic beings. We call them demons. They're devils, according to the Word of God. There is the devil, there's Satan himself. But there's a whole chain of angelic beings. Some are evil, demonic angels, and some are holy angels of God. And naturally, Gabriel here is being hindered by a demonic being who's called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. But Michael, who's not just a prince, is he? Michael, in that verse, is called the chief prince, meaning he's got more authority and more power than the prince who was holding Gabriel. Apparently, this prince who held Gabriel had more power than Gabriel, didn't he? But Michael is a chief prince. He had more power than this demon who was hindering him, and Michael was able to free him. Hold your place here, of course, and come with me to the book of Jude. Jude, and just verse 8. Verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. There are some powers out there that this world doesn't know, and they talk so boldly as if they could control the forces of the unseen world. You see a lot of that today, don't you? You see it in people who are so-called preachers of Christ, who begin to think they can demand the demonic world out there, and that they can have some powers over spiritual forces. If Gabriel didn't have that power over the demon, why does a man today think he's got some power over some demons out there? Watch this. It says, yet Michael, the archangel. Well, you know what an archangel is? That's defined for us back there in Daniel chapter 10 when it called him the chief prince. That's what an archangel is. He's the top prince. Michael is the top of God's angelic army. And he's the chief prince. But it says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dost not bring against him railing accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee. You realize that when we talk about the powers of the demonic world, that when it comes to the devil, Michael doesn't have any authority over the devil. He didn't have any power over the devil. The devil is one of the highest angelic creatures that God created. He became evil. And in that angelic world, Michael, who's the chief prince of God, he cannot fight over against the devil. He has no power over. He doesn't try to usurp any power over the devil. He just simply passed the word along, the Lord rebuke you. And yet Michael is the chief angel, the archangel. He had power over the demon who hindered the demon who's called the Prince of Persia. And that Prince of Persia had more power than Gabriel had. What you begin to see, obviously, there's chains of authority in the angelic world. Come over to Revelation chapter 12. You're right there. The next book after Jude is Revelation. Here's something that's going to happen in the future. It says in verse 7. You know, notice I said that Michael didn't have any authority over the devil, but it looks like he has authority equal to the devil. And definitely he's going to be given the command to cast the devil out of heaven someday. And by the way, the devil's not in hell with a pitchfork. The devil is alive and well and loose. He inhabits the heavens that God created, and he's got demons out there, and they're active and they're working. That's why we read in our scripture reading, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The demons are still free and up there in heaven, but in the middle of the tribulation period that's yet future, the last 7 years before Christ returns is the tribulation period. In the middle of that tribulation period, it says something happens in heaven, Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. But the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice there's a great victory that takes place in heaven in the middle of the tribulation period, where finally Michael and the devil get it on. They enter into battle. Michael's going to take him on at this time, and they war against each other, and Michael has the victory. Michael and his angels cast out the devil and his angels, and they're cast down to earth. It indicates up above that in verses 3 and 4 that the devil had one-third of the angels of heaven as his angels on his force, on his side, fighting. But in the middle of that tribulation, they are cast out, and their place in heaven is no more found. They end up being cast down to the earth. Now what we seem to be understanding, come back to Daniel chapter 10, is that the angelic wars that are going on out there in the unseen world have an effect upon this world. Well, what happens when Satan loses his dominion in heaven? Well, that's what we read in Revelation chapter 12. He's going to be cast down to the earth, and now he's only got the earth to fight for and with. And if he's lost the dominion of the heavens, that's the first step to the total wiping out of Satan's dominion upon the earth. He's first cast out of heaven, cast down to the earth, then he's cast off the earth and into the bottomless pit. But if the heavens have an impact on the earth and he loses that place, he has but a short time. And that's what it says in Revelation chapter 12. When he's cast out of heaven, he knows at that point he has but a short time. He's only got 3.5 years. So we begin to realize that there is, beyond our understanding, beyond our seen world, an unseen world where there's demonic powers fighting for territory, fighting for position, fighting against God or fighting with God, just like all that is going on the earth. And so we begin to see it here. This one who's called Michael in verse 13, he's called at the end of verse 21, it says, but Michael, your prince. If there's a prince of the kingdom of Persia, then Michael comes and fights so that Daniel can get this revelation. Then there is a prince who's in charge of the nation of Israel. There is a prince who was in charge of or took authority of Persia, who was a demonic being. It's interesting, anytime that you get into the Gentile powers, the demonic powers are winning. The demonic powers are influencing the earth because the Gentiles are ruling. But Israel has a prince, and that prince will fight for them someday, and then when that prince fights for them, then they're going to have victory. But here, Michael frees Gabriel to come. He's called your prince. If you come over to chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 1, it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as was not since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So there's coming a time where Michael isn't going to sit back and let the demonic powers have that influence over the earth. One day he's going to stand up and fight for Israel. And when he does, Israel will take the kingdom again. Jesus Christ will come back and reign over this earth. And the earth will have heaven's reign upon it once again. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's heaven's reign upon the earth. Because there's a battle that goes on between God and Satan, who's going to rule. Come over with me to Isaiah chapter 14. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, says Genesis 1:1. When God created the heavens and the earth, he made an inhabitant for those heavens. He made angelic beings. And then when he made the earth, he made human beings and put on that earth. God took Adam and he made him and gave him dominion over all the earth, as if he was the king of the earth. Adam was a man who has a triune being about him. He is a spirit, soul, and body. God took that man and made that man king of the earth, and by his physical being, by his body, he walks on a physical earth that's seen and invisible and tangible to man, and he's to rule that, but by his spirit, he is able to commune to God and rule this earth as a king according to the commands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God himself. And so that was Adam's purpose on the earth. Before Adam was created, God created some angelic beings. And in that angelic world, a rebellion took place. And that's what you have here in Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now this is prophetic, speaking about what we read in Revelation chapter 12. Someday Israel is going to say this to the devil, because he's going to be in a bottomless pit, and they're going to ask him, how did all this come about? But they're going to remind him what he said he was going to accomplish. Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan, who was one of the chief angels that God created, began to look at the creation of God and the throne room of God and says, I want to exalt myself to that throne room of God. I want to be over the stars of heaven. You think he's talking about just the planets, the little lights that we see? See, those planets are occupied by spiritual beings. Stars in your Bible are always associated with the angelic world. Sometimes your Bible will talk about the host of heaven and refer to the star lights that you see. Other times it talks about the host of heaven as being the army of God, the angelic army. Stars represent those beings. And that's interesting. Man understood that at one time. In the Tower of Babel, they worshiped the tower, or they built a tower whose top might reach unto heaven for the purpose of worshiping those stars. And all of the months of our year are named after different planets that people thought were gods. And when they're not worshiping the true God, but they're worshiping something less than God, but it's an angelic being, guess what kind of angelic being they're worshiping? The Bible calls it idols, which is worshiping the devil. And all this goes on. Man understood these things a long time ago. Now we either think that through some spiritual force that the stars control our life, or some of us say, oh, that's superstition, I just read it for the enjoyment and for the kicks. But there was a time that people realized that the angelic world had dominion in the heavens, and that they began to worship those angels. They worshiped the creation rather than the Creator himself. Why did that happen? Right here. Satan decided he's going to exalt himself above the stars of God. The last thing he says is that he wanted to be like the Most High. How come the devil didn't want to be greater than the Most High? You can't get any greater. Do you realize that? When you say that, the devil didn't want to be above God. He wanted to be God. You can't get above God. The Most High, Creator of all things, you can't go above that. It's not even in the imagination of the spiritual realm to go above God. God is the top. So all you can do is wish to be like it. And the devil comes along and he fell. He convinced one-third of the angels of heaven to follow him and to fight again in his rebellion to achieve that purpose, to be worshipped as God. And then when God created a man on this earth and made him king of the earth, the devil says, I want the earth too. And he came down here, and what lie did he feed Adam and Eve at the garden? If you eat of that tree, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. The very lie that he fell for and convinced the angels to follow, he convinced man that if you eat and follow, and I'll make you a god over this earth. You just won't be a man, I'll make you a god. Followed Satan's way and fell dominion, fell to Satan. Sin entered in the world and into man's hearts. And the whole world is corrupt from that time on. And God has a plan and a purpose for winning this earth back to himself. It's going to be making himself known through the nation of Israel. And the demonic world looks like it's winning when the nation of Israel is under the Gentile dominions. Daniel praying, where's the glory of Israel? I don't see it. Then he sees Jesus Christ coming in glory and is reminded, yes, it's going to come, Daniel. It's the latter time. It's not now. It's going to come. And Jesus Christ will come back and do for man what man couldn't do for himself. He'll come back. He already came and died for man's sins. And he's going to come back and reign like Adam was supposed to reign. Jesus Christ will come back and reign over this earth and give all, he'll have all power and authority over this earth given to him. And he'll reign for God the Father on this earth. Jesus Christ was God who became a man so that he could set up kingdom's reign upon this earth. And that's what Daniel sees a vision that's all about. That's what the demonic world are trying to hinder from coming. That's the revelation that Daniel is going to receive in chapters 11 and 12, how God's going to bring that about. And the angelic world didn't want Daniel to know that God is going to do through Israel what he claimed to do. And so they're fighting against it. But come with me as well to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's what the angelic world knew they were fighting against. But that opens the door for us to realize what goes on in the unseen world. But now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, God's not dealing with Israel anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's not dealing with Israel anymore. He sent the Apostle Paul out and began to call out Gentiles for a people for his name to make them part of the body of Christ. And in this chapter, Paul begins to explain to Gentiles why it is that he's able to go out and preach. There's something special about the preaching of the Apostle Paul. It says in chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. I come to Corinth, a real educated city. How can I come into Corinth and add some wisdom to you people that you've never heard before? How is that possible? Yet not the wisdom of this world, which the princes, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul says, I'm here to tell you something that you couldn't know before because there's a revelation given to me that was kept secret. It's not only the wisdom of this world, it's not even the wisdom of the princes. Because the princes have an angelic princess over, a prince over them, don't they? And those princes are battling for the earth. And Paul says, I'm going to share with you something those princes don't even know. And the reason I can do that, I'm speaking to you a wisdom that God had ordained before the world began. Before God created the heavens and the earth, he had a plan that he was going to work out in the earth that he never made known until he sent Paul out with it. Had it been made known, it says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, what wouldn't they have done? They would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Well, you see, the angelic world, if it's God's purpose, through the nation of Israel, Christ to come to be their king and reign over all the earth, what'd they do with him when he came? They crucified him. What do you think? What was instrumental, not just the people who crucified him, who do you think was instrumental behind the crucifixion of Christ? The Satan. The people over the Roman Empire, the Prince of Rome, who helped the Jews do their task of wiping Jesus Christ out and executing him, stopping him from being king, stopping the glory of God to be set up on the earth and the rule of God over the earth. They think they're stopping God from achieving what he said he was going to do. But he had something else in mind to do that he didn't make known to them. And that was not only that Jesus Christ was going to die for the nation of Israel and rise again, but that when he died, he not only died for the nation of Israel, he died for the sins of the whole world, that he might reconcile all mankind to himself in one body, in a new way, calling out a whole new group of people, not the Jews, but now Jews and Gentiles who will believe in Christ and make them a body of Christ. For what purpose? Colossians, come on. Sanja's back there, we're out of time. Colossians chapter 1. Look at this, Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, Paul's got to give thanks to God. We Gentiles have been made part of an eternal inheritance. Verse 13, speaking about Christ, who was delivered from, who delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who, speaking of Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Christ was God who took on a visible image, didn't He? God manifested in the flesh. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That is, the first resurrected from the dead unto eternal life. For by Him were all things created. Now, what was created? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible, which one's that? The earth. And invisible, what's that? The heavens. But He created them both. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He created principalities and powers and dominions on this earth, the governments of the earth, and He created the heavens, and there's governments in the heaven, and all of them were created by Him and all of them were created for Him. That is, to be under His rule, under His reign. Are they? No, they're in rebellion. Will they be? Watch how they're going to be. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Why did He create a new group of people called the church, the body of Christ? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that, here's His reason, in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ became the head of a body, not the King of Israel. We sung that chorus, He is King, and He is. He's going to be King of heaven and earth. But today His relationship with us is He's the head of the body. Why did Jesus Christ become the head of a new group of people called the body of Christ? That in all things, earth and in heaven, He might have preeminence. He might rule because of what He's done, becoming head of the body. He is going. He made a means by which not only will He return and through Israel be crowned king and reign over the earth and have God's authority set up on the earth, but by creating a new group of people in the age that was never made known, that was kept secret from the foundation of the earth, God is saving a different group of people, and He's going to catch us up into heaven and place us in heavenly places. What happens when Satan and his angels are thrown out? And remember it said there's no place for them anymore? Angels don't reproduce, do they? How in the world then, if one third of the angels are removed from heaven, do their place get filled up? God's saving a group of people in the age of His grace, that He's going to catch us out and put us in the heavens. And what Satan never realized, when God created human beings, he realized God wanted authority on the earth. He never dreamed that God, out of those human beings, would create a people that's going to replace him and his angels in heaven someday. Had he ever known that? Through the cross of Christ, he accomplished that. Had the devil known that, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 2, in verse 15. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, you know, when you spoil, that means you wipe out the enemy and take all the good things away from them. They had dominion, principality, they had positions in heaven. They had territory in heaven. But when Jesus Christ died, He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. He spoiled. He robbed them of their place. He conquered them already through the cross. And it's just now a matter of time before Satan is dethroned from heaven down to the earth, 3.5 years from there, after that, dethroned from the earth down into the bottomless pit. And Jesus Christ will come back. And when He comes back, He don't just reign as king over the earth, does He? He's already cleansed the heaven, and there's salvation in the heavens. And you and I have been called to be part of that program of God through this ministry of the Apostle Paul and this dispensing of God's grace. Daniel doesn't teach that. Daniel's thinking about the kingdom. But he showed us a door that cracked open to the heavens, and Paul throws it wide open and says, see all that? It's just as real as this earth is, and you're a part of it to the glory of God if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? There's only one thing you can do to be saved. is believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for your sins. Totally defeated Satan and the demons. Totally took care of your sin problem so that you could be translated into his kingdom of everlasting life is in his inheritance. Let's pray. God our Father, we realize that we are very blessed people of you. Blessed by your grace, blessed by your love, blessed by the provision of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. And Lord, we know better than to think that we ever deserve such a position. But we thank you that we have it, and we thank you that we can study your Bible and know about it so we can appreciate it. That we don't have to look in the world and think that the satanic influence in this world is winning. We can look out there and realize that it's doomed, that it's the work of your winning the heavens and the earth back to yourself was the work of Calvary, and it's complete, it's done. And it's just a matter of time before you take the places that you've won to yourself and give us those heavenly positions that we do not deserve, but you so graciously give through your love and through your divine wisdom. Father, help us to understand this message today, that we might realize what's going on in our life and what that verse means, as we read in our scripture reading about wrestling against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. Help us to put on the whole armor of God, Father. Help us to stand complete in your Son, Jesus Christ, not in our own power. And help us take the sword of the Spirit that the devil hates, the Word of God, and know it and understand it and speak it boldly as we ought to speak. For your honor, for your glory, in Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen.